As recent events bear witness, women still fight daily for respect in a world that is dominated by white men. Few point to that struggle as well as author Gabrielle Zevin, whose best-selling novel, The Storied Life of A.J. Fikry, really characterized hope and love in a modern world. Her latest novel takes on misogyny and slut-shaming. It's called Young Jane Young. Author Gabrielle Zevin joins me now. Hi, Gabrielle.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I have to ask first about your novel, The Storied Life of A.J. Fikry, which I just loved.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, that's exactly what people think of when they think of like curling up with a good book. I think that's the kind of book they're thinking of. And I wonder what it's like. I don't want to assume that you didn't know if the book would go bestseller or not, but is it a surprise when a book does really well?
Yeah, I mean, I think if people knew what the secret formula was, then every book would be a bestseller, but every book can't be a bestseller. So I think we were hopeful. I think on some level, you know, we were preaching to the choir because book people liked the book.
Yeah.
You know, so we had a good audience for it. But I mean, I was delighted at how much it connected with people. You know, I think its messages about sort of reading and the joys of going to an independent bookstore and actually turning a paper book was something that resonated with people. But it was really just something I was feeling myself.
And, you know, some research shows that millennials actually are kind of rejecting digital copies of books. So you've kind of plugged into something.
I think they're smart to do that in a way. You know, you can actually have a copy of a book that exists. If you buy something digitally, you don't own it. You just have a license to read it. So it's a very different thing. And also there have been studies in, I think, Sweden and maybe one in the UK also that talked about the fact that when you read in paper, you tend to retain more of what you read than when you read digitally. So I think maybe millennials are onto something with that. I know from doing events that my youngest readers, they will buy a book in digital. And if they really love it, they want to also buy it in paper because they want to kind of collect it like a trophy on the wall or something. I mean, well, some of my books I wrote for young people, which I include as books, but I also wrote two novels for adults before Fikry, and one was very political, and the other was sort of feminist. So I think
one should I go to first? Which one would you suggest I check out?
I don't know. It depends. I think I've gotten better as a writer as I've gotten older. I'll say that honestly. You know, so I won't say that I think all of my novels are equally good or anything like that.
Well, one would hope you get better. Otherwise, you're just stagnating, right?
Right. I mean, a book that I was really proud of was this book called The Hole We're In. That was the book that came out before The Storied Life of A.J. Fikry. And it's about a young woman it's about credit card debt and the first generation of female soldiers to serve in combat, which in Iraq, basically. And so I think the thing is I've learned more about how to tell an emotional story since that. You know, I had a lot of things I wished to say, but I don't think it necessarily got into a form that, you know, large numbers of people could enjoy. So I think I've become maybe a more sophisticated writer since then. But I do think it's a good book. I do.
So then let's talk about the new one. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with author Gabrielle Zevin. Her new book is Young Jane Young. So this one is a feminist book.
It is.
Why this book right now?
You know, I think it's important. You know, anytime I write a book, I always am trying to tell readers the most important thing I think I could be telling them at the time. You know, and for me, thinking about the fact I had incredible anxiety over the last election. I was fascinated by the Bernie Sanders Hillary Clinton primary. And sort of thinking about that, why women have such trouble in politics, why they don't achieve or even seek higher office. You know, we're 51% of the population and we're less than 20% of the seats in the House and in the Senate. And, you know, thinking about the fact that my grandmother, who was born in 1916, was born into a country where she couldn't vote. Some of these issues were things I wanted to talk about in story form.
And it's difficult, isn't it, to talk about almost anything because everything has become political. How did you go about writing? I mean, how much did you keep your audience in mind and whether or not they would get offended as you were writing?
I'm not too worried about offending people. I worry more about, I think, giving characters their day in court, so to speak. You know, so I feel like if you've had a character make their case, then how people react to that is not something I can control. And, you know, so I think it's funny, we're in so much of an echo chamber these days where you can kind of just listen to the news that is the news that you already believe. And I think one of the reasons I love fiction is because you still have a chance to talk to somebody who is not like-minded to you. And it's something that fiction can do and stories can do that really news or think pieces cannot. You know, it's funny, like when I wrote the storied life of A.J. Fickrey, my prior book, so many people that wrote me letters, maybe 90% of them said, oh, I'm now definitely going to go visit my local independent bookstore. And I think that's quite interesting because, you know, many of them had surely come across the think pieces that said bookstores were in trouble, or maybe they'd even noticed in their towns that their bookstores had been closing. So I really think that books can kind of do a thing that, you know, news and even physical evidence of something happening cannot. So I think the reason I wanted to tell this story was so that people would have some sort of empathy and really think about the issue of why women do have more difficulty in seeking and attaining higher office.
And it's always difficult to talk about fiction because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody.
You're good.
But I do want to talk about how you addressed all the many different views of what feminism is. Mm. And the argument that there is over what is feminist and what is not. And it's kind of brilliant to me the way you deal with the slut shaming, because that's a kind of discrimination that even women engage in.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and somebody recently asked me a question about the difference between sort of shame, which is something we can control. Shame is a feeling we have, and shaming. And I've been thinking that as a woman, I can choose not to participate in a culture that decides to shame other women. I think that's something we can actively do. And yeah, the most important novels to me when I first started reading, I think, serious fiction as a young person were feminist novels. And the older I get, I think it's the more important I think it is for me to be a feminist. And so I wanted to write a book about that. I wanted to write a book that, you know, talked about, you know, what it is we do to young women. You know, an interesting thing, I was listening to an interview on NPR, I think it was Peggy Orenstein who wrote that book, Girls and Sex, and she talked about the fact that I think something like 70% of girls will have taken a naked selfie by the time they graduate from high school. And so if you think about that, are we going to eliminate 70% of girls from seeking public office? You know, we have to start to grapple with sort of the internet and shame and all these kinds of things.
So, I mean, another thing that's really interesting about the way you've fictionalized this argument is, I mean, it's difficult to make entertaining when when any joke you crack could hurt somebody, right? I mean, when you make a joke about something, you have no control over how they take that joke.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I wish I could control exactly how, you know, I want everybody to have exactly the right laugh at any given moment in time. You know, but I also think there's a danger in being too precious about ourselves as women, or too precious in culture. I certainly don't want to, you know, hurt anyone's feelings. But I also think me even saying that is a very female thing to say, you know. So I felt like, again, I hope that I've written characters that, you know, that the reader will be able to sympathize with. And if they, you know, laugh along the way, even if they laugh occasionally the wrong laugh, I think we'll all survive it.
I mean, I think that the characters kind of leap off the page, which is what speaks so well that it's almost, I had to keep checking that it was actually fiction, not based on a true story. Yeah. And you were talking about feminist novels that you read growing up. What were they? Because frankly, most of the novels I read growing up were the opposite of feminist.
I think I got really fortunate at my big public school in Florida that the teacher I had was very invested in teaching literature that had women as main characters, you know. And when I say feminist can be as simple as that, just a story about a woman who is the central actor in something. Even books I really love, like The Great Gatsby or many sort of great American novels, women are, you know, side dishes in these books. But so anyway, I had a great English teacher whose reading list included things like Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Were Watching God, The Awakening by Kate Chopin. Try to think of some others. Song of
Margaret
Solomon,
Atwood,
which isn't.
Maybe?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, I don't think we read too much Margaret Atwood yet, but but that certainly would have it would
that
have made
would
sense
have been
in
more
that
advanced,
class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people who are watching The Handmaid's Tale TV series are discovering just how advanced Margaret Atwood is.
Well, I don't know about advanced, but in a way, I think back when I was in high school, like, I think people taught what they perceived to be as genre fiction less. So because that was in a sci-fi universe, I think, you know, you wouldn't have seen that as commonly on a syllabus back then.
But then would you call books where women were the main character, but they were not portrayed particularly strongly, like a Madame Bovary or something? Would you think of that as a feminist novel?
I mean, I think a lot of the books I just named also had female writers, you know, is one of the primary differences. But yes, I mean, just to kind of speak to the representation issue, I think it's just useful even to read a novel where a woman is a main character if you're a young woman, you know, where you...
Even if
you
it's
think
written
about,
by a guy.
Even if it's written by a man. And if you think about, like, say, how many movies we see where, you know, and they have a male lead, and then television is a little better about this now, but, you know, how many superhero movies we've seen. And I think that's what the power of Wonder Woman was this summer, just finally seeing, you know, that a lady could be the lead in a story. So,
well, she also seriously kicked butt.
She did.
Which was entertaining.
Yes.
You know, if I were had interviewed you about your previous novel, The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey, I would have asked you whether or not people presume that you're a feminist writer because you're female and you're a successful writer. But now you are a feminist writer because you've written a feminist story. And I wonder if that gave you pause, because critics sometimes treat someone who's quote-unquote feminist than they do any other fiction writer. I mean, look at all the women who write under either use initials so they can't be identified as a female, or they use a male a pseudonym.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a concern for me, because again, I've had a kind of long career that's involved lots of kinds of books in it, you know. But I think sort of a related issue is, if you think about even the categories we put women writers in general, you know, like I saw one of the publications had listed Young Jane Young as women's fiction, meaning that, you know, and I think about the term women's fiction, you'll never see a man in women's fiction. And in
and
a
I've
way,
never
what
seen
it does,
a men's fiction department either.
No, exactly. That's just fiction, right? And
yeah.
So in a way, those terms, women's fiction, and it's even like slutty or sister chick lit, you know, are kind of ways of signaling to half the population to not bother reading something at all. You know, so I think that is a real concern. And actually another thing is that when I, you know, obviously Young Jane Young is a book about five women, or four mm-hmm. women, four and a half women.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey was a book about a man. But, you know, there really aren't men characters in the same way in Young Jane Young. And there was a sort of liberating thing in a way to writing A.J. Fickrey, because he could say things that I think, but that as a woman come off abrasive in a way that people are more find more palatable when coming from a male voice. You know, and another, again, I have a long-winded answer to this, but another thing that happened was after, when I put up, I'm not online that much for a variety of reasons, but I put up a synopsis of Young Jane Young when I knew the book was going to be published, and I said that it was a story about, it mentioned the fact that she was a young woman who'd had an affair with an older married man.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. Most people said they were looking forward to reading it, but then there were certainly several people who felt the need to tell me that Aviva sure sounded like a dumb girl. And, you know, so people were prepared to, like, shame a fictional character, having not even read the book yet, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, but see, we see this all the time. And like, why the reason I thought it might have been pulled from the headlines was because we see this constantly when somebody hacked into Jennifer Lawrence's accounts and released photos of her in various states of undress. People blamed her for taking them. And
yes,
and there's all this advice of people saying, don't take those pictures if you don't want them to be released. And that's not just men, right? That's also...
No.
Yeah, that's also women. So how did you go about trying to craft a story that would even speak to those people? I mean, you're automatically going to speak to me, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. But what about somebody else who would have said, hey, Jennifer Lawrence, why would you take naked pictures of yourself?
Yeah, it's amazing that that even exists in that way. And obviously, you know, I'm hoping that people will lose themselves in the story itself, you know, and that they can find something to relate to. For instance, the first section of the book is about Aviva's mother, Rachel, mm-hmm. who, in trying to prevent her daughter from making a huge mistake, which is having this affair, you know, kind of ends up making everything worse. So I feel like maybe, you know, somebody reading that section has had a mother can relate to what it is to have a mother, you know.
Yeah. Who's worried about her. I mean, it's clear she has the best intentions.
Right. And, you know, so I think in a way, if you think about scandals, they dehumanize people. You know, when we think about Monica Lewinsky, for instance, you know, you don't think about Monica Lewinsky's mother that much. So when I can write a character who's had a similar experience to Monica Lewinsky, but I can show what her family's like, what her daughter's like, you know, what she thinks, what she feels, and how difficult it is for her to move on. I hope that what I can do is, you know, give someone some empathy for a person that we consider to be a, quote, fallen woman.
That is Gabrielle Zevin, author of the new book, Young Jane Young. She'll be at the Margaret Mitchell House in Atlanta Thursday, September 14th at 7 p.m. Thank you so much.
Thank you.